It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
I knew you were going to ask me this question. What is a clairvoyant? How did I know you were going to ask me that question? Well, my guests told me that you were going to ask me that question. So first, the answer to your question and then the introduction to my guests. The definition of a clairvoyant is generally someone who may have a supernatural ability to perceive events in the future or beyond normal sensory contact. And I perceive my guests will be interesting and entertaining. Amelie Van Tass and Tommy Tan are the magician mentalist duo, the Clairvoyants. And they're going to be joining Shin Lim's Limitless Residency in the Palazzo Theater at the Venetian Las Vegas, May 21st through June 29th. And for ticket information, go to VenetianLasVegas.com. And for everything about clairvoyance, go to theclairvoyance.com. And you can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And Amelie and Tommy, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us, Ira.
Thank you for this nice and beautiful introduction.
Well, I wanted to get, I wanted to establish the right predicate and before you started reading my brain and figuring out what I was going to do next. So I wanted to kind of do it that way. How did the two of you meet?
Well, that was 13 years ago. It's unbelievable. Time flies by. We met in front of a TV studio. I was hired as a dancer. Tommy was hired as a magician. And that's where our paths crossed for the very first time. And we kind of had the feeling there was something very special. And from that moment on, we kind of stick together.
So you've never been apart since then?
Not really.
We're performing together since then. We're a couple. We got married. We're traveling the world together. And I think that's also the beauty part about it. We're not alone. We are our little families together all the time, and so we're enjoying the time in Vegas or right now, for example, in Europe.
So can you tell when Tommy's mad at you?
I can tell even before he's mad at me.
Exactly. Very good answer. That's where I was going with. So how did you decide, because you come from different backgrounds, it's entertainment, clearly, but you come from a magical background, you come from a dancing and entertainment background. How did you decide that this approach, and we can explain a little bit later how you ended up being on all kinds of great shows, but how did you decide this approach would work the best for the two of you going forward?
So when we met and when we worked together for the very first time, we immediately kind of we fell in love with bringing magic on stage, with fascinating people, with something new, with something they've never seen before. And, we had this idea to put a show together, to create a show what's about, not about the tricks on stage. So it's about the people in the audience, about their thoughts, about their minds, and making it really fascinating, more like an experience. And since then, we started working on things, we started to open our eyes, to watch our audiences, to see what are they interested in, what they want to see, what they want to experience. And that's basically when we fell in love with mentalism, with magic, with bringing something new on stage. And since then, we're working on shows. We already have four different full-length evening shows. We're touring them around the world. And now we're bringing the show to Vegas together with Shin Lim.
Yeah, Shin Lim's great. He's been on the show as well a couple of years ago. Yeah, he's amazing to watch. How do the two of you maintain the energy necessary for, okay, you're married, you now have a boy, right, a baby, and then you, not only that, you're, as you mentioned, you have these four shows going on. How do you maintain the energy level?
I think it is the combination of all those things. We are a stage couple, but also in private life. And I think, there is the dynamics of being like super excited, adrenaline, then being like, okay, what's for breakfast or what am I going to do today?
Super excited about breakfast.
Yes, I love breakfast. So it's like all those things in between. And I now love our new role as being parents, because now we get to know each other again from a different side. So I think That's one reason why it never gets boring, because we get to know each other even better.
And also in the show, you know, with our show, what is very special, it is different every night because it's about the audience. It's about the people in the show. It's about the objects they're bringing to the show. And we are creating the show out of that. And so every night when we step on stage, it's a different night for us. There are different people, different objects. And so it never gets boring.
Is the idea, and just for our audience, our listeners and viewers, to get a sense of what you do as the clairvoyants, and again, they're going to be over at the Venetian May 21st through June 29th as part of the Sheraton residency. And was that correct, you said, or was that incorrect?
It was correct, yes.
Oh, it was correct. Okay, yes. You're coming a long distance via Zoom, so I wanted to make sure I heard that correctly. Give us a sense of what goes on. In other words, there are members in the audience who you either select or they volunteer, and they have an object, and it could even be a baby, which you guys have, and you know, maybe you could do a reading of that, and you tell them, you identify what is in their pocket, in their purse, in their hands, inside their ear, or how does that work?
So we're doing a lot of different things. That's one of the acts you mentioned. It's our world champion act, where we won the world championships a couple years ago. And we also...
Don't let that slide. You won the world championship, and where?
In Rimini, in Italy. That's called FISM. That's like the... There are 3,000 magicians all around the world there. They judge you, you know. They will find the best magician, or in our case, mentalism. And yeah, after 30 years, this award was given to us, world champions of magic in mentalism, and we're very proud to do this because the act, and we are going to show this act also at the Venetian at Limitless, it's one of our signature acts because it is different every night, and people, they can bring objects, whatever they have from home, whatever they have in their pockets. Amelie's blindfolded on stage, raised high into the air. They check the ear first that there are no little loudspeakers or nothing hidden in the blindfold. And then the people, they can hand me whatever they have. And Amelie is guessing what it is. And then she also knows details about the things. Sometimes the owners, they don't know that. So that's one of our acts. It's super fun. We also do something where the whole audience, everybody in the audience is involved into the show. And everybody will experience the magic and mentalism in their own hands. And also our little dog. We have a little dog, a Maltipoo, Mr. Coney Hundini. He wants to be a Vegas star, so he will be in the show with us. And also he will try to read the mind of a lady in the audience. So that's also a lot of fun, bringing an animal on stage.
Yes, I expect a mind-reading animal. I like that. That's good. But the reason I wanted you to explain a little bit more about that, the award, is because it is a very prestigious award, and for the two of you to get that, I wanted the audience to get a sense of that as well. When you start putting the act together and you talk to somebody in the audience, I'm sure it's the unexpected. And what I mean by that is somebody will come up with something embarrassing that you don't realize the item is embarrassing to them, not necessarily to you or to the audience. Has that happened?
Well, we had weird objects being held up into the air.
Yeah,
I can tell you, people are very, you know, they have a lot of self-esteem, I would say, but that makes the show a lot of fun. And, you know, I sometimes can't believe what people hold up because I don't see it. I just start to explain it and to feel it. And I'm like, oh, my God, you know, that's a weird object.
And does the audience react once you point out what it is?
I think, of course, yeah. It's hilarious. Yeah.
It's always also a lot of fun. Yeah.
Because you're world performers, do you see audience reaction in different countries? Are some countries more reserved, I guess would be the question, versus an American audience, which is usually not reserved?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Americans are not reserved, and I love it because they're so into it. They're like, yeah, show us some magic. We love it. Take me up on stage. I want to be part of it. In Europe, people are a little more shy. They wait until they feel safe, and then they're in on it. Like, they are super excited about it. But they always need to feel safe first. And then we have also performed in Hong Kong and Singapore. There people are like, clapping like that, like very silent, but very enthusiastic, and they love it too. And yeah, then Mexico and Australia, we have performed all over. But I think America people, they are the most outgoing.
And especially in Vegas, you know, you have an audience, basically international audience from all over the world, and everybody is there to have fun,
yeah,
to watch a show, to have a great night out. So normally, in Vegas, the audience, they are always great, and they are a lot of fun, and they are very enthusiastic.
Yeah, I want to talk to you in a moment a little bit more about the Las Vegas performance, but one other quick question, and that is, when you do travel the world, how does that work in terms of language? Do both or one of you speak enough languages that you make it work, or is there an interpreter needed, or how does that work?
Well, it depends. So English, of course, we're pretty much safe with it. We can't get rid of our accent, but
at least Amelie's safe with her English.
No, you're good, Tommy. You're good.
And we performed in Spain for a month 2 years ago, and so I started to learn vocabularies and the script and everything. It's different because we don't have like a script that is like the same all the time. When we talk about back, we talked before. So I need to know what does a bunch of keys mean in Spanish, or what does pills and money and whatever. So I really learned the act in Spanish. And I could say like after 2 weeks, I had almost every object in Spanish, even though I don't speak it. And then in France, we performed in France too a couple of years ago. So we studied the act in French. We both had French in school, so it was not so difficult.
Helped a little, yeah.
It helped a little, but still, you know, you need to kind of get back to it because school was like a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no.
And, of course, in Austria and Germany and Switzerland, we speak German fluently. Yeah. It's our...
Well, surprise.
Our first language. So, yeah. But most of the time, most of the shows we're doing in German or in English.
Your English is very good. The only thing I would suggest is changing the spelling of Tommy, because in America it's T-O-M-M-Y and you have it as T-H-O-M-M-Y.
Yeah, that's correct. I know. I'm fighting with it since years, but you know, that's how it is.
No, I got you. So your paths in a way are similar to Shin Lim in the sense of,
yes,
a couple of different areas too. So it's kind of neat that you're going to be part of that residency there. He's been in Las Vegas a long time now.
Yeah, actually,
yes.
You know, Shin and we had very similar points in our life. We both performed at FISM first. We both lost. Then we both performed there again in the same year, also in Italy, Rimini. And he won close-up, and we won on stage with Mentalism. So that was like the same year, the same FISM. And after that, we both went on tour with The Illusionists, the biggest touring magic show at the time in the world. He was in one cast, we were in the other one.
We never met each other. We just knew that,
yeah,
you know, we were performing together somehow.
Sure.
We both were on America's Got Talent, you know, just 1 or 2 years apart. And our paths crossed the entire time. And, you know, we're talking about doing something together in Vegas since a while. And now finally, the chance is here. And next week we're opening and we will perform together. And I think it's a perfect match, a match of card, the best card magic and the best in the world together.
Have you ever thought about combining the close-up aspect and mentalism, so you have close-up mentalism?
Of course. you know mentalism originally is made in smaller rooms, you know, in smaller groups for smaller people, but our approach was always to make it as big so it works on big stages in Vegas or here on our arena too in Europe. So we make it visual, we make it big, so it works in all kind of variations.
The challenge, I guess, in a way, is you were on America's Got Talent, both of you obviously performing there. It wasn't a challenge. Well, I guess it would be a challenge there because it's a whole different ball of wax. You're not only performing to judges and an audience, but you're performing to millions on television. In Las Vegas, you're going to be performing to X amount of numbers of people that are in the showroom at that time. When you were on America's Got Talent, were there butterflies, which is, since you're both German, I may have to explain the American or English phraseology or slang of that. Were you nervous?
It felt like elephants with wings, not like butterflies, but elephants. It was crazy. It was a roller coaster. For me at that time, because it was so intense, going to the coin laundry once a week for 1.5 hours, for me, it was holiday. Because we were so much into this whole thing that just going there for 1.5 hours, leaving the whole thing, like leaving my mind behind, leaving the work behind, that was like holiday. So it was pretty intense, but we learned so much because there are so many professional people working there. We learned so much about ourselves. We started with the best we had, and that was good because people loved it. But then we were like, oh, what are we going to do next?
Let's step it up.
And so we always, of course, have to step it up. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges, to make it better and bigger each round. And it's not just the act you do. You have to do so much around it. So the day only has 24 hours. But at that time, we needed much, much more. So, of course, we didn't sleep a lot. But as I said, it was amazing. Like the experience, we learned about also ourselves, where our limits are, because I always thought that here is my limit and I can't go any further, like energy wise and everything. But then once, like performing there and being in this process, I was like, oh, I can go way up there, you know. Mm-hmm. If you keep your energy and your mindset right, then anything is possible. That's what I learned there.
Do you think all performers, I think you two are the exception to the rule in the sense that a lot of performers that go on those shows, they're nervous, they get through it, but they don't necessarily learn new stuff or at least learn new things such as techniques and pacing, et cetera. It sounds like even though you didn't get a lot of sleep, you took it as a learning experience as well as an exciting experience.
Yes. You know, when you do a show like America's Got Talent, besides the thing you see on TV, it's your weeks, they are fully packed with rehearsals, with interviews, social media, with filming, and we always wanted to create something what the judges want to see, what America wants to see. And we were always listening to the judges' comments, you know, to what people write online, and we tried to create the act based on that for the next time. As a little example, I think in our first audition, Simon said, I would love to go to Vegas with you. So in the next show, we said, okay, tonight we'll bring Las Vegas to you. And we'll do some playing cards and with poker chips and dice. And, you know, and they love it. Judges, they love something like this. If the performers are really hearing what they are saying and making something out of it.
Especially Simon.
Especially Simon, of course. And we always have to say, when we performed on AGT 2016, that was altogether, I think we had like 5, 6, 7 rounds, you know. Now I think it's like you have the audition and semifinals and finals. And at that time we had quarterfinals and I don't know.
Final and the Christmas show.
And the Christmas show and many more. So we had a lot of performances to do. And then AGT, they're inviting us back almost every year as guest performers or with Fantasy League or whatever other AGT series they are making. So I think altogether we already did like 13, 14 acts for them. And it's fun because it makes you creative, you know, it challenges you and yourself.
It's nerve-wracking,
but you get creative because, you know, there is a deadline. You have to show this to millions of Americans. And it has to be great.
Yeah, clearly you're successful at it. Now, you did take time out despite that hour and a half for the laundromat. which I think they call that laundromat meditation, where you just disappear for an hour and a half and you
guys just watch it spinning.
Yes, exactly. And then you fall asleep because you don't have enough sleep. But you also go ahead, Tommy.
We were at the Dolby at this time of America's Got Talent. We were sleeping right next to the Dolby in the hotel, and around the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, it was full with, you know, with America's Got Talent fans and people waiting outside. And Amelie, she sneaked always out to the back door, going to the coin laundry across the street. You know, and all the people are waiting in front of the Dolby Theater, but in reality, she's on the other side watching the laundry in the laundromat.
Where is Tommy during this hour and a half? Do you know?
Working.
I was always working.
I think that's what you said.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, no, he said that. Now, you did take time out besides the laundromat. You did take time out in 2022 to get married. And that was at the Little White Chapel in Las Vegas. So it all ties in together.
Yeah. Well, after our contract at the Luxor with America's Got Talent Live, we performed there a year, 500 shows. We said, okay, we think it's time now. We want to tie the knot. Also in front of family and friends, of course, but this was just for us a private ceremony. It was very intimate. It was just beautiful. It was the perfect thing for us to
Our little dog was with us.
Yeah.
Of course.
And I think we will remember this forever, because for us it is super, super special. It was like the end of a chapter, but the beginning of a new one.
The most important question I forgot to ask you, is the dog jealous of the baby?
He's like protecting him. He's always sitting next to him, watching him, you know. So he's super cool with him, I would say, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You agree?
He's like a big brother.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's great. And another odd question I just thought of is, and then I'll get into the more specifics about your performance coming up. And that is, how do you handle the jet lag, not necessarily for you or the baby, but the dog? Or does the dog not have any concept of jet lag?
He does definitely have jet lag. I think it's easy because if we're jet lagged, we're jet lagged together. So we all wake up in the United States, like in Las Vegas.
Right.
We wake up at like 2 or 3 a.m., all of us. It's just like, bing, yeah. And then we go back to sleep at like 5, and then we wake up at 12 again. It depends. If we have time, of course, we have to work normally. So we have to get up. The dog can stay in bed. But he's definitely jet-lagged. I never thought that.
Oh, that's interesting. So now this new performance that you're going to be doing with Xin Lim at the Limitless Residency at the Palazzo Theater, it's May 21st through June 29th. When you decided to accept this and do it, and it's going to be a lot of fun, do you tailor it, or maybe a better question, do you edit it so that it fits the time period that you need for the stage? In other words, are you creating a whole new act just for that show?
So of course we're showing our world champion act. We and Xin, he wanted us to show this, but we're also creating act just for this run. And we also do some stuff to make nice transitions from us to Xin and the other way around. We're working on all of that, you know, right after this Zoom call. We jump back on the next call with Xin. We're discussing the next act and the finale of the show and everything. So it will be, of course, our signature acts, Xin Lim's signature acts, but there will be also pretty unique transitions and also a very, very clever ending of the whole night.
I like it. How do you work it as a clairvoyant in a rehearsal? Clearly the audience isn't there yet, but you do have stagehands available and you have some staff, I assume, available. Do you use them as stand-ins for just to go through the pacing and the rehearsal?
Absolutely. They have to be part of it. If they want, of course, but we always like to involve them, because then they also feel themselves how it feels to experience the magic. So they know what's going on with the audience during the show. I think that is a very important thing. And most of the time they really enjoy it, and they like, you know, they have like a show for free, like they're getting their minds blown. So
that's true. Yeah, they're there. They're getting paid anyway to be there, and now they get to enjoy the show.
Better.
Yeah, or the rehearsal and get behind the scenes and see how it all flows. So that's great in that sense. Do you see yourself after this run, which is May 21st through June 29th, do you see yourself perhaps settling down now that you have a baby and maybe even doing an ongoing, I know it's a little too soon to ask this question, but that's why I ask it, a little like an ongoing residency in Las Vegas beyond those dates?
So, you know, we're touring here in Europe like 3 months to 6 months a year, all over. We are quite busy with that. And we're also touring in the United States and in Canada. For example, this Christmas, we'll have a 2 month tour from Hawaii through Niagara Falls. So really like all over North America. And between that, we always love to come back to Vegas. But at the end, it's probably like we're spending 6 months a year in the US and 6 months in Europe. And we try to, you know, to fill our time with shows and also our private lives, of course, as good as possible. And we love Vegas, and we live in Vegas. We have a house there when we're in the US. So we'll see what the future brings, but we are open for everything.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good approach to take. I'm still amazed at the fact that you can do this with a baby and a dog, tour the world, even if it's...
I'm amazed too about that.
I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a little crazy. Now, I understand, before I let you go, that Tommy, your vow is to learn perfect English. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm working on that since 20 years.
You're getting there. You're very clear and very understandable. And Amelie just speaks English perfect. You have,
wow,
you have to
you
use her as an example, Tommy. So
yeah, you know, she's so good with learning other languages and stuff. She's doing it and she knows it, but yeah, she can read minds. So maybe that's why she knows it.
That's exactly why. Yes. So before I let you go, what do you see down the road next 5 years or so? Do you want to continue the pace that you're at as your baby grows up and gets, well, you know, obviously gets bigger and maybe gets incorporated into the act? I have a feeling that may be coming, but what do you see as the next 5 years for you?
I always think that the moment where we are, it's the most important. And at that moment, we are happy where we are. And of course, we are planning ahead, but we try to take like little steps, like step by step, because if we plan too far ahead, we forget what's happening in the present. So we try to be present. Next year, for example, we are touring again in Europe and the United States. So it's like, it looks like it's continuing to be like that for the next like 1, 2, 3 years. But after that, who knows?
And we always focus on the next step. And the next step is Las Vegas is limitless, performing there.
And we
seeing
can't wait.
All friends and people who come to the show. And yeah, can't wait to be there.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guests have been Amelie Vantas and Tommy Ten, the magician mentalist duo, the Clairvoyants. And they're going to be joining Shin Lim's Limitless Residency in the Palazzo Theater at the Venetian Las Vegas, May 21st through June 29th. For ticket information, go to VenetianLasVegas.com. For everything about the Clairvoyants, go to theclairvoyants.com, and you can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And Amelie and Tommy, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You so much.
Invitation.
Have
Thank
a
you.
Wonderful day. See you in Vegas.
See you then.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. When you